Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm going to talk about husband and wife. You can ask like the Pharisees asked to Jesus, with what authority is going to talk? Because I'm not a husband. But all of us have a father and a mother. So we all have some idea. And it's good that it's me talking. I have no experience. Only the Bible is going to talk. That's great. We have a title, Husband and Wife, Love and Respect. You can hear me well, correct? Despite of the fan. Good. I always mistake fan. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Verse 31, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay? Keep your Bibles open as we're going to dive into the text. Husband and wife, love and respect. The first point is already there. We have a key word, duty. Duty, okay? And you know I'm not a good cook, but there was a man. He cooked very well. And he gave me a tip. He said, you can't go wrong with garlic. Put garlic in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Same way, you can't go wrong if you do this. And we're always going to go wrong when we try to change this. Okay? You can't go wrong if you do this. You're going to go wrong if you change this. If you take the garlic out, you're already wrong. Put the garlic in. Your duty, so we're going to see wife's duty, husband's duty, and both duties, okay? Wife's duty, man's duty, and both's duty. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. I have a picture for you, wives. Freedom. Okay? It seems the opposite, submission and freedom. It is literally not the opposite. The more you submit, the more free you are. The more you submit, the more authority you have. Pretend I am the boss of a company and I give a duty, a task to someone. If they do it well, submit, everything's okay, he gains credit with me. If he is the hard person to deal with, he loses his credibility. Submission gives you freedom, submission gives you authority. Okay? Submission. I don't need to sugarcoat this word. Just because it sounds harsh to the world, it doesn't sound harsh to the Christians. Can I hear amen? Okay. Two verses above. No, 19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We saw last week that the fulfillment of the Spirit does something different than we expect. For us, greatness, it means to do something nice. Look at what I do. Look at how many people follow me. Look at this, da-da-da-da-da-da. And we see here, and that's completely egocentric, but see here that the fulfillment of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, it means that you're going to learn to give thanks. And if you are giving thanks, what does that mean? It means that you are not self-sufficient. Why? Somebody had to do something in order for you to thank him. I believe you don't thank yourself, right? You always thank the other person. So the fulfillment takes that out of you. The next one, submission. To be filled with the Spirit means to take your ego, your self-centeredness, and now you're going to be filled with submission. So the Holy Spirit does that to us when he fills us. Therefore, when we apply this to the marriage situation, same thing. The word submission, it shouldn't be a hard word for the Christians. Why? Because to be filled with the Spirit means to be submissive. It's only the wife who is submitted, all of us. Prime Minister Trudeau, Doug Ford, under submission. No matter who you are, powerful you are, great you are, all of us are under submission. So submission is freedom. The more you submit, the more authority you have. Saint Augustine of Hippo, he says this, the more I am slave to Christ, the more free I am. And I like to use the illustration of the car. If you are driving your car under the speed limit with the insurance all in place and everything all tied together, you're submitting to the laws, you're free. When you speed, you are not submitting to the law, now you lost your freedom. Because if the cop catches you, you're going to pay the fine. So submission, it's our freedom. Submission is the freedom of the wife. And the Apostle Paul uses here a figure in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. The figure of the body and the head. The head talks about leadership, and there is four reasons why. The brain, everything that I'm speaking here, first, it's being spoken here. If I go to the right, it comes from the brain. If I go to the left, it came from the brain. Okay? Second aspect of the head, brain, eyes. If you have a good vision, you have better commandments. If you see things, you make better decisions. Some people, which I include myself with, they see life like this. Looking only down. Looking down. What's the plans for next year? I don't know. I'm looking down. What's the plans for next week? I don't know. And some others, people, they go to a high top and they want to see things from another perspective. Okay. And then they go to the other side, but I'm not going to the other side, otherwise it's going to take too long. But you see, leaders, head, husbands, train your vision. Train to think ahead. Train to plan the next steps. See things from another perspective. Otherwise, you really limit your brain. Otherwise, you really limit your decisions. Otherwise, you really limit your family. Okay? Second thing, brain, eyes. Third one, mouth. Leadership and voice are basically the same thing. They walk together just like the coin has two sides. Leadership and voice are the same size. And if you have been in a meeting, you know what I'm talking about. The meeting can be wonderful or can be terrible. It can take, you go, you speak, and nothing gets done. Or you can speak, and everything gets done. Am I right or right? Right? Have everybody have been in meetings like that? Yeah? Okay, good. So, voice. It depends on the person leading the meeting. Everybody starts to speak, and the person don't say, shh. Then everybody keeps speaking. Nobody speaking, and the person don't designate anyone to speak, then there is no meeting. Voice. The head is the brain to think, to command, needs to grow up his vision, and needs to lead with the voice. And finally, fourth, since I spoke about submission to the ladies, now I speak to the men. Ears. In the head are the ears. And so, some people think that leadership means I'm not going to listen to anyone. I am the man of this house. I do everything. You're going to do as I want. In the head is also the ears. Can you say amen, ladies? Really, from the bottom of my heart, I am an employee and I have employers. If my employer would listen to me, and not because I'm smart, just because I'm doing the job, he would be a happier person. And I believe not only me, each one of his employees. If you listen, you'll see that things are going to go better. You're going to make better decisions. So in the head is the power to command. In the head is the power to see. In the hand is the power to lead with the voice. Very important to listen. Okay? This here we are talking about marriage, wives being the helper they were called to be, and men being wise to listen your wife. Solomon says, in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. How much more to the counselor that it's your spouse? Are we clear here? Good. Second point, the duty of the husband, it's to love the wife. And I believe we're going to see this in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The second duty it is the husband's. And you see that the Apostle Paul says to love as Christ loves. Give himself to the lady. Definitely don't go and die just as Christ died for us, because only his death can save us. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is talking about mindset and heart. And I'm going to give an illustration that makes very, very, very easy. What is the Apostle Paul talking about? There are two kinds of employers. The boss, the small business, big business, whatever business. There is the good boss and there is the bad boss. Who is the bad boss? Who is the person who opened the business and really they should close the business? That one that thinks that the business, it's for him. I am the first one to be paid. If there is a crisis, I'm laying off everyone. If there is a crisis, I'm cutting the hours of my employees. The business is for me. I am the first one to get paid. I am the first one to get the benefits. Terrible employees. Terrible. What is a good employer. What is a good employer? The one who gets paid the least. The one who is doing that for a profit, yes, but his main duty is to care for the employees he has. If I am employing you, I'm going to do everything I can for you. Crisis is hitting, it's going to hit me first. There is an emergency, a situation, a stress, it's going to come on me first. That's the good mindset. I will never forget when I was taught this, the man who went bankrupt and he couldn't pay. He was owing a material construction like Home Depot. I think it was Home Depot. He was owing the person $250,000. Well, that's a lot of money today. Imagine back in the days. It was a lot of money. I could buy houses with that. Anyways, but he was that good employer. His mentality is, I am the last. I pay my employees first. I pay my customers first. I pay everybody. I am the last. And he went bankrupt. He learned from whatever he had to learn. And he came up again. In the day of the birthday of the owner of the Home Depot place that he had, he came out with a check, happy birthday, and gave him back the $250. He didn't need to, because I believe, you know, when you declare bankruptcy, there is some tremors you do. But him, out of his heart, came, I owe that customer. I owe that for them. And with his new company, he came and paid back. That's the kind of mindset the Apostle Paul is talking about. I'm going to take any damage as a husband as I have, but I am the last. I'm going to work as hard as I can, but I'll be the last. My wants, my dreams, all go to the sideline. I am the last. My wife is the first. My kids, they are the first. They are the ones. Christ loved us like that. Who took the damage on the cross? Who gets the benefits? He loves us that way. That's the way we should love our spouses. And you see here, we just read that the Apostle Paul says something very interesting. He tells, by the word of God, the husband lavishes, washes his wife. And all of us know, our bodies are going to decay. 10 years ago, I had more black hairs. Now I have more gray hairs. 10 years ago, when I was playing soccer, I was very dangerous. Today, I'm not. 2 years ago, not 10 years ago, when I would play tennis, I was playing the other day, and the ball was like, yeah, easy for me to catch. My brain thinks easy to catch. When I did that, I'm like, couldn't get the ball, and I'm like, what's going on with my body? It's not answering back my brain. I'm losing my mobility. I need to go to the gym more. Anyways, all of us are decaying. But the Apostle Paul says that because of the Word of God, because of the Word of God, and I'll say this again, because of the Word of God, Christ makes his church wrinkleless, spotless, beautiful. And so does the husband should do to the wife. So, if the body is going to decay, but the Apostle Paul, that because of the Word of God, the things are getting more prettier, what is he talking about? He's saying this, in a healthy relationship, healthy, okay? What it's expected is that when you look at back to the day of your wedding, before the decay process starts, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever years ago, you look to your wife and you tell her this, you look more beautiful than the day we married. I fall more in love to you than the day we married. I'm more everything to you, all this blah, blah, blah. You know, husband and wife talk, dating stuff. You do all of this. It's necessary, trust me. So, all of that, the goal, the result must be that you love her more than in the beginning. And that she, it looks even more prettier than the beginning. Why? Because of the Word of God, where is true beauty in the spirit, in the heart, in the mind. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And you see in verse 27, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You make your wife like that because of the Word of God, and you present to yourself, not to the others. And then the Apostle Paul says, he who loves his wife loves himself. The more you lavish your wife with the Word of God, the more you love your wife with the Word of God, guess who gets the crown? You. The more you love her, the more she's mature in Christ, the more she's spotless, wrinkleless in her heart and in spirit, the more you benefit. Paul is saying, loving your wife means common sense. The proverb that I told you, very good proverb. When my wife wins, I also win, the husband should say. And the wife the same. When my husband wins, I also win. It's common sense. Okay? Ladies, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Now, husband, love your wife. Only one wife. Love your wife. You see the blah, 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 gushy things that I told you. It's necessary in the picture. Duty number three, and this is the both. Understanding the purpose. And here comes theory. We need to study the Bible and to understand. The first duty, it's very practical. The second duty, it's very practical. But the third one, it is theory. And once we understand, it is better. Verse 31. For this reason, there is a reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Here is the theology behind it. Why are we doing this? Understand the purpose. Paul is quoting Genesis. What happens in Genesis? He makes Eve for Adam. The Bible starts with a wedding. And when we go to the book of Revelation, the Bible finishes with a wedding. And what's the wedding? Christ and his church. What is Paul trying to teach us here? The wedding, the marriage, is the picture of Christ and his church. The Bible gives us a lot of pictures. The pastor and the sheep, the tree and the branches, the Lord and the servant, God and his people, the king and the subjects. None of those, it's more profound, mysterious, deep, intense than the picture of marriage. So, the more you understand that, the more you value your wedding, your marriage. The more you understand that Christ is the groom and the church is the bride, the more I want to love my wife, the more I want to submit to my husband. Sometimes it's hard to submit, but when you understand and remember it's about Christ, not about me, it becomes easier. Sometimes it's hard to love, but the more you understand it's about Christ and not about me, it gets easier. So this is the first thing we need to understand. And the second one, the two shall become one. The two shall become one. Why are you going to love and submit? The Apostle Paul says, it's common sense if you treat your wife well. So I'm going to give you up. And he gives the figure of the body. Of the body. So, if you see someone hurting himself, is that functional? Is that good? Is that person in sobriety or in sound mind? No, he's not. If the husband and the wife hurt each other, the Bible is saying you're not hurting her, you're hurting yourself. Why? Because you became one. When the wife hurts the husband, what is she doing? She's hurting herself. Why? Because you became one. When I don't want to submit, I think the head, it's not me. But we became one. When I don't want to love the body, I think the head, it's only one. And I forget that I became one. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. If we understand that, if we have that picture in sight, if we keep reminding ourselves of this mystery, it's easier to do our duties. And to conclude the sermon, everybody knows, Martin Luther, the guy who started the man who started the Reformation, okay? Martin Luther, back in the days, they believed that sanctification was obtained by celibacy. You go and you live in the monastery, you're a monk, and that's it. You're gonna be holy and sanctified. After the Reformation, that Luther started to read the Bible seriously, he understood that he could marry. And he married to Kathy. Kathy, nice name. He married to Kathy. And he says this, in 1 year of marriage, I was way more sanctified, mature, like Christ, all of the traits, rather than 10 years of celibacy. Why is that? Because it's a picture of what Christ does to the church. In 1 year, he was way more mature than 10 years by himself, trying very hard. That's a mystery that the Bible is talking about. Verse 33, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. It looks like the Apostle Paul is repeating himself, but he's not. He's saying this, husbands, love your wife so well. Love her. Tell you love her, because if you just love it, don't tell, trust me. It's hard. And show you love her. Because if you just love and tell, maybe it's not enough. You need to show. High maintenance. Do the three. Love, tell, and show you love. The more you do that, the more you earn the respect. That's why the Apostle Paul is concluding with this. Do that and you're going to earn the respect. The submission task, it's going to be easier for the wife. Same way, the opposite. Ladies, make it very clear that you're submitting and respecting. Because then, it's going to make easier, you're going to earn the love of the husband. The goal is to make, be very efficient, diligent on the duties I'm giving you, the Apostle Paul is saying, and you're going to see the results. And you're going to see the benefits. And you're going to see the outcomes. That's why he repeats himself. Truly do and intentionally do your duties. And your spouse, most likely, consequently, will also do theirs. Amen, church? Amen. Amen.